everyone. Welcome back to the Minute Women podcast. My name is Grace.
And I'm Linnea. And we have another fabulous Have You Got a Minute? So if you've got a minute, listen to this. And we have amazing guest Sarah here from Intoxicated Podcast.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
She was so good on one episode that we had to have her back.
That was so great.
Yeah. And so today we're going to start off by just kind of talking about Sarah's podcast and then getting into women in podcasting and kind of all of our experiences.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
Sarah, take it away.
Oh my gosh. So I've been, I'm the host of Intoxicated Podcast. It's been going for 4 years. Well, I guess over 4 years at this point. But I took a little break at the 4 year mark and I'm back and sort of relaunched it out to the world. But essentially it's just a comedy podcast all about like diving into like the people behind the art, the people behind the performance, so, like whatever you do. I have comedians on, I have performers, I have characters, like whoever you are, it's just all about like kind of diving deeper into who the person is behind what they do. Mm-hmm. So it started off as a drinking podcast. It has quickly changed to a sometimes drinking podcast.
We are currently drinking
yeah. Now. So this is kind of, we got some intoxicated vibes going on.
This is our homage. Yeah. We're having mimosas.
We sure are.
And we're having deep conversations.
It helps to open people up for sure. So I always say, like, whatever your thing is, like if you want to have a coffee on the show, bring a coffee. If you want to bring a Red Bull, like whatever it is to make you feel better about talking, let's do that. But yeah, it wasn't sustainable as a weekly drinking podcast. It quickly became obvious that I could not be drunk every single time. But that's how it started and it's evolved. But that's the joy of podcasting. Yeah. It can change with you. And I've had so much fun with it. And like, yeah, it's just been such a journey.
Yeah. Hard question. Ooh. Not your favorite, because I feel like that's really difficult, but who's been your most interesting guest?
Oh my gosh, most interesting guest. Yeah. Oh my God, that's really tough. I've done like over 200 episodes.
Yeah.
I mean, a frequent guest that I've had on is Travis Lindsay, who's perhaps one of the best comedians, if not the best, in Halifax right now. Travis, shout out. But it's what's interesting about him is he's done multiple episodes.
Right.
Mm. But like we've kind of gotten closer over the times that he's come on. And so we really deep dive into comedy. And like those are the ones that I walk away going, it kind of feels like you had a masterclass in comedy after you talk to Travis.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Because he's, you know, like over 11 years into comedy and it's just really insightful. Yeah. And I feel like other comedians tune in to those episodes because they're just like, we just want to hear this guy talk about his craft.
That's
so
cool.
And so were you a stand-up comedian when you started Intoxicated?
No.
Oh
wow. So
no,
but it was always, but it, so it didn't start as like a comedy podcast per se, right?
It was a comedy podcast, but it didn't have comedians until about until about 2 years in or so, like a year and a half, 2 years is when I started kind of tapping into local comedians.
Yeah.
And then I just made friends with local comedians, started hanging out with them all the time. And really, like, my dive into stand-up comedy is still fairly new because as soon as I started being friends with them, going to shows more regularly, I was kind of in the scene without being a comic.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah. Like,
people saw me as, without the good benefits of that. But yeah, no, I was kind of entrenched in the scene in a weird way where people would look at me and go, she's a comedian, but I had never been on stage before.
Right.
So only a year ago is when I started doing stand-up.
Oh, wow.
And it was really just like, I should just try this. You know, I feel like I developed a bit of a comedic muscle with podcasting with comedians.
Sure.
To a point where I was like, I think I have some jokes. I think I could give this a go. Mm. And have been at it ever since. I've done over 70 sets in a year. Including lockdowns.
So, like, do you identify more as a stand-up comedian or do you identify more as a podcaster?
Probably still a podcaster at this point. Yeah, I still feel fairly new. I feel like podcasting is my expertise and, like, more my comfort zone.
It's safer. Yeah.
It's safer. And it's also different because, and you guys should identify with this too, like, where, like, you can just really be yourself and have fun with your podcast. Mm-hmm. You're not seeing an instant reaction from people.
Right.
You know that you're putting it out into the world and that people will maybe laugh when they see it, but you're not you're not seeing the instant validation that stand-up gives you.
Which I'm sure it has like a lot of highs and a lot of lows, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, well that's just
like
it,
the highs are so high. Yeah. And then like the lows are like,
and then the lows
no
feel like so bad.
Yeah.
But yep, the yep. highs make it worth it, makes you try it again. And it is just a different, it's something that has, it was a nice transition for me, like from podcasting to stand up, but it is very different.
Yeah. Right.
Very different art.
It's very cool to be a female podcast, not a female podcaster, but a female comic, both actually, but a female stand-up comedian, like in this, you know, kind of climate and especially with what's going on. I mean, I grew up watching Just for Laughs and watching a lot of stand-ups, and you know, there weren't great women to like watch and grow up on, but like now, I mean, and it's not everybody's flavor, but I remember watching Eliza Schlesinger,
and just being like,
oh, like, shoot, like women can be funny, like women can be, you know, crude and funny and witty and do stand up really well, which has brought me to another female comedian who I love, which is Mae Martin, who's Canadian.
I don't know her.
Oh, she's funny.
Okay.
Yeah, so she has a show on Netflix now called Feel Good.
Ooh.
And I am saying she, but I think Mae is now them. Right. But they are really funny as well.
No way.
A little more of that depressing comedy, a lot of self self-deprecation, but you know, in the world that we're living in right now, I think everybody's feeling a little bit of self-deprecation.
It's challenging to do that type of comedy as a female,
right?
I will say, having been like the only female on many male lineups.
Yeah.
The issue you run into with those types of jokes is we are in this age of female empowerment. So audience members just want to go, oh, and they want to be able to root for you, not feel sorry for you.
Yeah.
And it's really tough. Like, I have very self-deprecating dark jokes and it is a challenge to make them feel okay to laugh
at it, right?
And that's why you'll notice, like, even though there are so many female comedians, if you look at any lineup of like a pro lineup, it's still just one woman or one or two, maybe.
Yeah.
We still aren't really hitting totally equal, so even when you're at like pro level, which takes so much work to get there, I mean decades sometimes, you know, like you're still struggling to see equal lineups of females and any minority, which is a challenge.
Which is like definitely challenge. Something similar of podcasting and stand up is like podcasting and stand up for a long time in my mind was like occupied by like bro white guys.
Yeah.
Like it's the Joe Rogan podcast.
I was just
like,
gonna say
the
insert
biggest
Joe
podcasts are hosted by like these bro dudes just with hot takes.
Yeah.
And that never intrigued me.
Who can say whatever they want and they say it with enough confidence that people just take it for what it is.
Because they're lucky to have that instant confidence that like we have to work so hard to get. But if you'll notice, like, I mean, that said, like, if you look at the true crime category of podcasts,
I was just going to say, like,
it's like dominated by women.
True crime was like the entry point for like female podcasting. I feel like that's like My Favorite Murder. Like those were
because
the first.
Because we are the target.
Right. Yeah.
So we have
the target audience and target in the stories, you know? Like you can.
True.
But I think it's also because I think women have convinced themselves, and also you like are in a market that probably believes it. It's probably justified that like no one's just going to tune in for a woman's hot takes.
Right.
Like it needs to be about something, and then you just need to be a good hostess.
Which is why it's sad. It's not something that's easy to deal with when you are someone who has stuff to say.
Yeah, for sure. Like, and I think like we probably do it on both of our podcasts, but I mean like for us, Minute Women is ultimately about Canadian History and Heritage Minutes, but it's our opinions about Canadian History and Heritage Minutes.
Yeah.
And I love doing these, like, Have You Got a Minute episodes, because it's more of an opportunity for us to just talk.
Yeah
to personally talk about, exactly.
Things that we're interested
in. And you have women in your title, so you're instantly telling people, you know, we are two women talking about it from a women's perspective, which I think is interesting, because as soon as you frame it as we are women talking about things from our perspective, people feel more comfortable. Like, if you'll notice, and going back to stand-up, if you ever do like a ladies' night show, it's always a great turnout, and it's always, the crowds are always great. And mm-hmm. I think it is because we're like, we're all women, we're in this together. Yeah. It's okay if you laugh. But then if you put a woman on stage with a bunch of men, it instantly they instantly don't laugh as loud.
They want to coddle.
They want to coddle. They want to just kind of chuckle under their breath because like they feel bad laughing at a joke. Mm. And then you see men up there saying the most horrific stuff.
Yeah.
And like and getting riotous laughs.
People are busting a gut at it. Yeah. And it's just, it's a challenge because it would be nice to get to a point where, you know, women can thrive on non-women's shows.
Yeah.
So I could go, I could talk about this all day. Yeah. I could please pop off about this all day. It's just such an issue.
I have a friend who's a drag queen and has a very similar like take on that, and that like they've done ladies nights and stuff at places, and it's just such a more receptive, fun audience because everybody feels safe. Yep. Like, you know, women are there and you're with your girlfriends and you don't feel like you're trying to impress anybody, and you as a drag queen feel like you're in a safe place where you're with people who are like, again, like you just feel safe and it feels more secure. Whereas if you're at a show and you're dealing with the male audience as well, like things are different.
It's just different.
It's just different. Yeah. And like he has like expressed that, and he's like, you know, he does Zara Matrix does a lot of shows at the Garden.
Oh, nice. I've been meaning to go.
I work with his mom, and she is Kim Myra is the most supportive mother. I had to send a message to her son, which is how we got to chatting, because she's just, I'm like, you have like such a great mom, like you are so lucky. She loves you, she is so proud of you. That's, and I was so sweet. Like,
bless her.
And he's like, yes, I am, I'm incredibly lucky, she's amazing. But like she's the first to like show everybody the picture. She's like, look at my son this weekend. Aww. Look up, she's like, he can dance, none of the other drag queens can dance. Sorry for the shade to the other drag queens. Yeah, I love it. So
oh my gosh, that's it's challenging, but I think it is. Both podcasting and comedy, stand-up comedy, is kind of a more masculine thing to do. Like, you're really saying, shut up and listen to me.
Yeah.
Which is a very male trait.
Yeah.
And so...
That's a great name for a podcast.
Shut up and listen to me.
Do we have a podcast now?
Yeah.
Between the three of us?
Oh, my God.
New podcast.
Shut up and listen to me.
I love that.
So it is challenging, but I do think women have great perspectives on things because of the challenges we've faced.
Yeah.
So it's better than males. No, I'm just joking.
We are superior.
So when you started Intoxicated, like, what was your hope for it? Like, why did you start it?
Ooh, good question.
I mean, I just kind of started it because I wanted to have fun with my friends and record it. That was really, truly why I wanted to do it. And also, too, like, when I started it, I was so cocky in that I was like, no one in Halifax is doing this, so I'm going to do it.
No, you're like one of the oldest like Halifax podcasts, for sure.
I think at the time I was.
And now there's such an industry for it here.
And now it's
but people know Intoxicated. Like, I knew about your podcast before we were even recording a podcast together.
That's wild to me because I make jokes being like, I feel like it's a guilty pleasure for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like people know about it, but like I don't necessarily know that they know about it.
Yeah.
Mm. So like as a podcaster, I'm still striving for that like engagement and that like knowing that, because a lot of people, I think, like will message me privately and be like, I really enjoyed the show. And I'm like, can you put it in an Instagram comment? Can you put it in an iTunes review?
I need the circulation.
Can you share it?
Can you share it? So I'm at this point, I'm kind of like really trying to take it up a notch to get that. Yeah. Added engagement, because I am so proud of it and it has been going for so long. Mm-hmm. And it was such an evolution because it really truly did start as a, I want to drink with my funny friends and make other people laugh from our conversations. Mm-hmm. Then I was like, ooh, there's like certain topics I want to cover. Like we did a whole Me Too episode when Me Too happened. Yeah. I was in the middle of podcasting when that movement really came out.
Yeah.
And I sat down
long ago.
Three female friends, and we all just talked about our own experiences with that. Yeah. And like stuff like that. So I started diving into more issues that are more uncomfortable issues.
Mm.
And so it kind of became a mix of like comedy, but also with these topics that are hard to talk about.
Yeah.
And then really, as soon as I got comedians on, it really took off in terms of I found kind of the type of guest. Yeah, the type of guest that I would want, because they're public facing, they're willing to share it, they're really comfortable coming on and talking.
Yeah.
Versus like regular people who might be a little more like, ooh, I'm going to talk about this, but I don't want to tell you my real name. That was a challenge for me, because I'm like, I want you to share it though. So I did have to start getting more like public facing people, which I thought was a good shift for me. And now I'm just really at a point where I'm trying to hone in on everything I've learned here at Podstarter.
Because, Sarah and I work together at Podstarter.
Me and Grace work at Podstarter. Podstarter.io for all your podcasting needs. Yeah. Wink.
Little Sarah, plug. I always say Sarah's the keeper of knowledge. She just, like, she just knows how to do everything.
Oh, my gosh.
No, honestly, last night while we were, like, drinking and catching up and, like, talking about our lives, like, Grace literally just talked about how she's, like, it's so great. Like, she's, like, Sarah's the type of person who she's never going to, like, force her, like, she's going to let you figure out how to do stuff on your own. But if you're, like, I need help immediately, Sarah's, like, yes, I am that person.
Yeah. No, I think that's important, because you do have to self-learn, but also it's, like, it's also important to, like, share your knowledge. And, like, I've encountered so many things in 4 years of podcasting.
No, exactly. That, like, I always say, I was like, like, Sarah is the best kind of mentor, which is, like, totally what I see you as here, because, like, you definitely, like, you personally have the most knowledge about podcasting. Like, Reese has been in the podcasting field, who is our boss, but Reese is more film-oriented. Right. That's where his career was for the most part.
He's the businessman. He's like...
He is not the businessman. John is, like, actual dad, and Reese is fun dad.
But
like,
that is the way it works. Reese knows the business of podcasting.
Yes. He knows it very...
I mean, he has a lot of connections, and, like, he's amazing at what he does.
But, yes, you're right. Jonathan is the dad.
But the thing is, what's cool about the mentor thing, like, you're saying that about me, but, like, I could say the same thing about you in terms of, like, your knowledge and your research and, like, how well written you are, and, like, like, that's something that I don't have experience in, so, like, I think it's just a good friendship and, like, coworker dynamic where we can learn from each other.
And I always say, like, and, like, I haven't said this to your face, but I do always say it, which I feel bad. Now it's, like, in front of a mic, so it sounds really ingenuine. But, like, I Sarah's the best kind of mentor where, she's never going to, like, tell you how to do something. She's never going to, like, impose her knowledge on you and be like, you're doing that wrong. Or, like, this is even, like, a subtle way of being like, oh, there's actually a better way to do this. Like, you never do that. But if it's ever, like, I'm falling behind on something, or, like, I don't know how to do this, it's just, like, immediately, like, drop everything, like, we'll help you with it, like, aww, which is so
that means
nice.
A lot. I don't want to Sarah-splain.
No.
Because the thing about mansplaining is, like, you're making assumptions, and I think it's so important to, like, hang back and not make any assumptions about people until you know for sure what they want help with.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's very common in comedy for male comics to give tons of opinions about a female set, and, like, it's just, like, it's just an ability that you have to really trust your gut and, like, let's just, again, not assume anything about anybody.
Yeah, or, like, jumping in and saying, like, what you're trying to say is this, and it's, like... It's amazing when it's like, that's not at all what I'm trying to say, but thank you.
And I also think a simple thing people can do is ask if the person wants feedback.
Ooh, yeah.
Because that instantly takes any type of mansplaining out of it. If you just go, do you want some feedback on this? Like, literally, you can just say it like that.
Yeah.
And it makes it way better.
Yeah.
But you also seem like the type of person who, if you ask that, and I was like, no, you would not be offended by that. There's a lot of people, and I feel like sometimes men in positions of authority, like, if they're like, oh, do you want my help with that, like, do you want my advice, and I'm like, no, that would be seen as, like, a slight.
That's true. It's like, if you are putting art or anything out into the world, it's assumed that you're also asking for response and criticism of it. And it's in such, like, a workaholic, like, world that we live in, where perfection is something that everyone's chasing. It sounds ignorant to say, no, I do not want feedback.
Right.
Or, like, no, I do not want criticism on this.
Yeah.
Where, like, sometimes that's just, like, it's not even, like, it's not that I don't want it to be better or I don't want help. It's that, like, I'm not in a, like, place where I'm going to be able to, like, take that feedback in a positive way. Yeah. So just, like,
there
don't give it.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
There's been many times that, like, I've had bad sets and I've sat down.
I thought you were going to say bad sex, and I was like,
kind of sounds like a dope. I've had a lot of that, too. We've
okay. But like, it's like immediate review. Yeah. It's like, do you want feedback on that session? It's like, no.
But that's what happens with comedy, because you'll have, like, a not-so-great set, and, like, a comic friend will just be like, do you want feedback on that? And I just go, can you just give me tonight?
Yeah,
tell
exactly.
Tell me tomorrow.
Yeah.
And with podcasting, again, going back to the fact that it's like not necessarily an active audience. You know people are listening, but you don't mm-hmm. know when. You don't see their face. It's a similar thing where, you know, like with podcasting, I'm just like, give me the feedback. I want to hear you talk because I don't see you while you're listening. So I really don't know what's hitting and what's not. And it's really, podcasting is a gutsy thing to do.
Right?
Can we all just say that right now? It's gutsy.
I mean, like our first episode, we got like criticism back. Like,
did you really?
Oh yeah.
Was it from a stranger or someone you knew?
Stranger.
They were just sort of like,
oh, I wish we had the it was an Apple podcast review. God.
It's very much like you didn't get what this was supposed to be. Like, we were talking about like Irish history and
Irish
so
orphans.
Somebody Irish orphans, and so this guy was basically like extremely critical that we were laughing about like the potato famine and like stuff like that, where it's like, this is a comedy podcast.
Yeah, look at the category.
Also, we're
in.
Clearly not laughing at people starving to death. We're laughing at the like continued failure of a government to address it. Like, that's what we were joking about.
And what was more interesting about it is that in this lengthy review,
it was very long.
The dude, I think it was a guy. I think by the name we figured out it was a guy. Anyway, this person listened to the whole episode.
Yeah, like, I just imagine him like rage listening to it.
No, I imagine like taking notes, like wrong, oh, immature. Yeah. Yeah, but there was something about what we were spewing into the ether.
Oh yeah, it was a useless, like we take up like a useless amount of space in the ether,
yeah,
or something like that. It was ridiculous.
Please,
yeah,
I
take
love
a
it.
Picture of that.
I know.
Review and frame it.
Oh, we must have it somewhere
because
oh, I know. Yeah, I have.
That's
it.
Insane.
Yeah. It's
also,
so funny.
Why do people feel the need to over criticize free content?
I know, it's free content. That's what we always say here at work. It's just like, I don't know what they want. It's free.
Yeah.
Like, you're not paying to listen to any of the content.
We didn't
we put
make
out.
You. We didn't hold your hand over a
no.
hot, like, stove and
not
say.
Not even our live shows like, were paid.
No.
Like, none of this is paid content.
That's insane. And yeah, it's, if you're going to leave a review, don't leave a bad one. Email the podcaster. Send them an email. Why would you put that on a review?
Oh,
where
yeah.
it's going to just like tank the show. And then they're not going to have the confidence to want to get better because they're seeing these reviews. And it's just like an email would be a better way to do it. Just be like, I'm a first time listener. Here's some thoughts. I feel like most podcasters would appreciate that.
We've had those too. At the very beginning, we had an email from a guy who just corrected us on like something that we said. And like,
we said something off the cuff and we got some fact wrong and he like emailed us.
Oh, that, Pierre Elliott Trudeau's funeral and
we said that
Jean Chrétien
was dead and he very much wasn't dead.
Yeah, Pierre Elliott Trudeau is dead and that is the funeral procession I was remembering from my childhood.
Yeah.
Although Jean Chrétien, as we've discussed,
he looks like a walking corpse. So our
So this gentleman, he sent us an email and was just like, hey, I just wanted to let you know he's alive and well-ish. Good job with your content. Like, just wanted you to know. And, like, that's helpful.
Yes. Yeah.
That is the kind of, like, that is criticism that I respect and, like, we need. It's like, thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. We brought it up in another episode.
I was gonna
gave
say,
the guy a nice shout out.
Yeah, there
was
you go.
Like, thank you so much.
Yep.
Like, and I forget
you
his
can make
name
a joke
now.
Out of the fact that you messed up.
Absolutely,
yeah,
which
absolutely.
We did.
We have a sorry segment. We've just been so perfect lately. We haven't had to use
we
it.
We haven't done it lately.
Maybe we'll do one from this episode. Sorry we had Sarah on.
I feel like there's something we can be sorry for. Like that's what's helpful. That's
yeah,
what's
exactly.
useful.
It's, oh my gosh, it's just
trolls.
Yeah, criticism is such a strange thing when you're like a female creator in some way because there's it's like you said like there's this like polarizing opinion of it where either you know you just like one side of the coin is that you're putting something out there so you're just opening yourself up to criticism and if you don't take it then you're being ignorant to improvement and then the other side of the coin is like because we're women and we're supposed to be supporting women, like, you can never say anything bad about it ever.
That's true.
Yeah. Yep. And I come from like an academic background where like criticism is just, it's the given. Like you're always supposed to be critical of everything. And like nothing is perfect. And you're always getting criticism from your peers and from your colleagues who, you know, like I wrote a paper and submitted it to a journal and I got it back as like, there's like four categories of revision. So it's like publishable, publishable with minor revisions, publishable with major revisions, and then not publishable.
Okay.
And so I got it back with publishable with major revisions, which was totally fair because like I had slapped together that paper really hastily and it needed it. It needed major revisions. I'm still working on those major revisions.
Major revisions, our next podcast.
Major revisions. but like I remember like opening it and it's just one of those things where it's just like I knew it wasn't a good paper. And so when I opened it, I was like, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. And I remember like, and it's just like major revisions, this like whole write up of like, basically you have to rewrite the paper and this is how you're going to do it. And da, 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 da. Just like crying because like always tears immediately. Yeah. It's just like, oh, crying, whatever. Yeah. And then like getting, but then you come back to it 24 hours later and you're like, okay, I totally appreciate what this person is saying.
Yeah.
I am going to like follow it. And then also being able to look at that and be like, I'm not going to write the paper that they have outlined because that's not the paper I want to write. But I am going to take this criticism and use it to the best of my ability.
Yes, that's very helpful.
Which is hopefully in academia what the person who made those revisions wanted.
Yeah, and it's like, because it's still like,
you know, they gave you help and support and they were like, you know, these are my hot takes from this essay that I maybe can tell that you slapped together. So
probably,
like, here are the changes I want you to make. And then like, but allowing you to take that on yourself and say, maybe I want to go in a bit of a different direction. Like maybe, you
for
know?
Sure. And like, they even said at the bottom, it's like, I hope that the like author does not take these like revisions. Like I hope they take them, like it's told in a positive tone and like hopefully to make the paper as best as it can be. Like they were very like, it's like, I hope they don't consider these revisions overwhelming. Yeah. I just think like this is important research and it should be framed differently.
That's their job. That's their job. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so it's also a process of being able to like treat yourself like the expert. Like this person made very apt criticisms of something.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm the expert because I did all the research. And so using their criticism, I know how it should be worded and framed, not them.
Right.
Like, they have a good point.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, even though my work is criticized and should be critiqued, it's a process of like not like diminishing your own value.
Yeah.
Which is like, I feel like across the board something and that like women really, especially have to deal with.
Yeah.
It can be really easy to instantly go to, oh yes, you're so right, I'll make those changes.
Yeah.
It's really hard to stand in your like in your power. It sounds cheesy to say, but to stand in your power and go, I know what I'm talking about and I'm still going to write this in my voice. Like when you're talking about papers, I'm thinking about jokes.
It's
a similar thing when people give feedback on jokes, because they give feedback based on how they're hearing it, but you're going to rewrite it still in your voice.
Yeah,
which is I think a very similar thing. So.
Yeah, because like you're the person that has to live with it. Like your name is going to be the one attached to it, and like, so you have to be happy with it at the end of the day, no matter what you're making or writing or producing.
Oh, 100%.
Well, earlier you two were talking about, you know, being in a kind of mentor-mentee kind of relationship. And I think that that draws on a really nice point about, like, constructive criticism and working on projects, and it, whether it be jokes or podcasting, in that I have learned just as much or more in a mentor role than I from the person I'm mentoring, like about how I teach and how I give, you know, constructive criticism and how I, you know, how I interact and lead.
Yeah.
You know, you learn. So that's such a reciprocal relationship.
Oh, big time.
And I think a lot of people don't see it that way.
They don't. They're just I'm the expert. I'm telling you what I know.
It changes you from being a leader to like a dictator.
Yes.
Or just a dick. Or just a dick. But
so true.
Dick spelled D I C T.
Yeah, dipped. That's funny. I think if you can really embrace being a mentor and a teacher and a leader, I think that you can learn so much. And I think that's how you are a good leader, is when you embrace those people who are learning from you, embrace those followers and encourage and engage and learn from them. I think that's yeah. really powerful.
Don't let the ego take over. Don't let your yep. head get too big, because you can yep. always learn something, no yep. matter how far along you are in anything.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, totally agree. Holy yeah. smokes.
Do you think like gender has impacted the way that you like mentor people or receive mentorship, especially from like male mentors? Because I know in my like, in my academic career, I have always had male advisors and I never had a female professor in history until I was at my master's degree. Like history of all of the liberal arts is the one dominated by men.
Yeah. Because men know everything. Didn't you know, Grace?
Because men know everything. They're never wrong. It's also wrong. Because women feel kind of like what we talked about, right?
Yeah.
McPhail thing is that women feel like if they're coming into the space as a woman, they have to write women's history. Mm. And that is what is available to them. And so,
and
so many
not
departments.
What you're doing.
No, I don't yeah. do women's history. I try to incorporate women's perspectives because that is just a more accurate representation of societies and peoples.
Right.
But like, I'm not a woman's historian. No. Like, that's not my area of expertise. Right. Hence, I usually wind up with, I've always had a male advisor, like undergrad, master's, and now going into my PhD, my supervisor advisor has always been a man. And I've been incredibly fortunate in the sense that they've all been absolutely wonderful. Yeah. And I've never felt like I was a woman in that space.
Diminished.
I felt like I was a student in that space. And they've always been very supportive and highly generous with their knowledge and time. But I definitely feel like it's part of like my own prejudice, where I remember going into university and like having a female professor for the first time. And like, I could feel some of like these like inaccurate like feelings of like, why don't I like this female professor? And it's just like, is this like internalized like feelings towards women, or am I like, or is she actually just not a great professor? You know, and sometimes it's
and then
like
the guilt
or.
You feel over feeling like
Absolutely.
A woman is not a good professor. Oh. Yeah, I've definitely had that experience. You know, being a student of leaders and having someone who is, you know, leading me or training me. And I can think of a couple of specific work examples where, you know, I just want us to both build that success from each other, because we're both women and we're both, you know, in the struggle and, you know, in male dominated industries. Mm-hmm. And but it is hard to allow yourself to be like, okay, like, yeah, she's a woman, but she's also a shitty leader. And I'm not learning anything from her, and not feeling guilt about that. Not letting someone treat you poorly or not give you what you need from an education standpoint, and only allowing it to happen because you feel like you should.
Yeah.
Yes. Which, I mean, I think that's fair with men too. I mean, I've definitely had, I remember in university, I had a professor who, he was brilliant in his field, but I found him to be a terrible professor, and with some conflicting like moral issues. He's actually been let go from Acadia University.
It takes a lot for a tenure track professor to be let go.
Yeah. Stop. To because of this. Anyway. Yeah. And that was a little bit of like, not redemption, but a little bit of like,
yeah, I know what you mean though.
But to be like, oh yeah, okay, like I saw that in him. And even though everybody else was like, yeah, he's an expert, like he's really great, to then see that it was recognized that he was not a super great person. I was like, oh, okay. And I think it's like letting, as women, being okay with letting yourself
trust your gut.
Yeah.
It's truly a phenomenon, and I think it's like overlooked a lot. Like our gut instincts, because we're often like gaslit because of our gut instincts.
Yeah.
And forced to think that they're not valuable, when it's
welcome
like,
welcome to my dating history,
Sarah. Yeah. Oh girl.
Oh man.
Oh girl. We could pop off.
We should. Yeah. If we're ever on Intoxicated, we'll have to do dating history. Shitty exes.
I would love to go through that.
We have some catalogs.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. No. Perfect. No, that's what the show is, right? I want to know.
I love that.
So it's like, let me hear your pain.
Oh my gosh. That's what it is. There it is. Intoxicated in a sentence. Let me hear your pain. But the gut instinct, the intuition that women have, you really need to trust that, because I'll tell you, it's often not wrong.
Yeah.
No, it's 100%. There have totally been situations where I know this could be better, I know whatever, but I don't feel like I'm in a space where I'm being asked.
Uh-huh.
And you really feel like you need to be asked.
Yep.
To give your opinion, which is so much the difference between like men and women. I feel like men, for the most part, can just be like, oh, I'm here, and that's the invitation. And I know it's annoying, but that is the way you kind of have to be. Yeah. Like, I kind of want that.
So hard as a woman, though.
I know.
So hard.
It's really hard to walk into a space, and I find it's even harder when you walk into a space that is all women to do that.
Oh. Because... yes, yes, yes. I
because when a man, mm-hmm. but when a man sets the standard of like, I'm just gonna say what I think.
Yeah,
it does open the opportunity if you're willing to take it to be like, yeah, no, that's stupid. Like, if you're gonna openly just give criticism, I'm going to as well.
Yeah,
it's just so much harder for us. It's just harder to get to that point. And like the women versus women thing, that's a huge point in feminism. The fact that so many women are just so stuck in their ways that they can't open themselves up to potentially make some noise.
Yep.
I'm trying to make some noise in the Halifax comedy scene right now, and I'm finding it really hard to get people backing me on it.
Yep.
And it's going back to the Minute Women episode we just did about, what's her name again?
Agnes McPhail.
You gotta be the person. I heard a quote somewhere that was like, there's people who are meant to weather storms, and then there's people who are meant to like to turn around and like face the storm.
And, yeah.
Wow.
And like, I just feel like women in podcasting, women comics, like these people who are doing these ballsy things are facing the storm.
Yeah.
And like, if you want something to say, if you have stuff to say, you should make yourself a platform to say that, whether that's a podcast or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And podcasting is such an amazing opportunity to do it because it literally takes nothing.
Yeah.
Like, you do not need fancy equipment to do it. All you need, you can get Audacity for free, which is the editing software that we use for Minute Women. I'm sure you use it as well. And like some mic. And it doesn't have to be an expensive mic.
And even like social media and our merch and everything, like we're Instagram's free.
Instagram is free. TeePublic is free.
Yeah.
If you like, want to make some merch.
If you want to make some merch, like we. It's easy. I mean, we record a lot of our episodes now via distance.
Yeah.
And I record at my kitchen table with a microphone taped to a mason jar.
Yeah.
And that's how we do it. And you know, like, you don't need a lot to be able to have your voice heard. And I kind of, when we first launched Minute Women, you know, I was just stoked if, like, one person, my mom was going to listen.
Right?
Like, just to have somebody listen. And we were so overwhelmed by the support that we had first coming off that it was intimidating, but it was also so validating.
Because it's your heart.
And it wasn't even like we were talking about, like, controversial topics at first. I mean, we've gotten into some controversial topics. We've gotten more comfortable.
Love that.
But, like, at first, you know, we're just covering Heritage Minutes, and it wasn't even like I was really laying a lot out there. But it's still, like, a piece of you that you're sharing. And to, like, have... you know, feedback is just, even if it's negative feedback from an asshole.
They're hearing it. They heard you.
They listened.
And they loved you enough to take the time
to write that's it. That's what it is.
One of the one-star review that has brought my rating down on Apple Podcasts was like, this is what pisses me off about this review, because it was one star.
I hate Apple
but
Podcast.
It was essentially just like, it was a bit slow, but it's not bad. It's not the worst, but not
the best.
No. And they gave you one star?
I would have rather fuck you off. Be like, I hated this. She talked too much. she talked too much about herself, because that's something I'm always insecure about on the show where I go. I always want to set the precedent that, like, it's not an interview, it's a conversation.
Right.
And so, I might throw in some stuff about my life, but I'm doing it as to bounce things off the person. So it's a conversation and not like a, well, how did you guys start Minute Women? And like, you know what I mean? Like, just very interview. I want it to be a conversation between two people. So
I'm super bad at that. I have moments where I'm like talking, doing a podcast with Grace, and I'm like, oh my God, I can remember when I started talking about myself, and I'm still talking about myself, and this is embarrassing.
But don't feel bad, because it's yours,
right? Yeah. Right? But
For people to like it and stick with you, they need to like you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they need to relate to you as hosts. So, like, as the more you can share about yourself, I think the better, depending on the podcast, obviously. Like, some podcasts are definitely more
content-based,
informative-based, and in which case, it should be more of, like, a formal interview.
Yeah.
But, like, comedy podcasts, tell us about yourself. We want to know.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can go and read the Canadian Encyclopedia and get most of the information that we share on this podcast, right?
Yeah.
But, like,
But you're making
obviously
it accessible.
What we're yeah, and that's why I always say that like Linnea is such a critical part of this podcast, which like Linnea will always say it's like me talking for the most part and then she's just here, but I'm like, this podcast is absolutely nothing without our friendship.
Yeah,
like without our friendship it is just spewing of facts that no one's gonna want to tune into. Yeah. Right. And yeah, you know, like as long as we keep that as the core and like heart and soul of the podcast, yeah, then it's like we could so do important. Anything we can talk about, we can so do this important. Instead yeah. of talking about just Heritage Minutes, which is something yeah. we love to do, but I love that we've been able to like kind of broaden the definition of what our podcast is just by being yeah. By understanding what it's about, and it's about us.
It's
as
also
much as it is about history.
Yes, is. I feel so lucky because Grace and I were barely friends when we started this podcast.
It's true.
Like really? we didn't really know
we were
each
very
other.
Situationally friends yeah. where we were like friends at the curling club,
like I
but didn't with, see each other outside of it really.
I curled yeah. with Grace for a year and like thought she was cool and whatever, but like I had a very serious needy boyfriend, and you had like such a strong group of friends, like you had like Shannon and all the engineers and like
yeah. But I was also like going through weird shit of like it was like I'm moving to Halifax for the
right.
first time.
Yeah,
and,
you,
like,
were you were
really
struggling,
feeling
yeah.
like a fish out of water and not being comfortable with it. We can talk about this on Intoxicated.
Yeah,
yes, please do. This is just
will.
A plug for the future Intoxicated episode because you guys are on top of my list for the next round.
Oh,
so
yeah,
excited. So we'll make it happen very soon. I promise.
We will, but yeah, we weren't really. We definitely weren't at the level yeah. of like friendship. Like now it's just like
it was born of circumstance in a lot of ways.
Definitely. And I feel so lucky, especially with the pandemic and especially with me living on the South Shore yes. now, that we have this podcast, because you are such a like true and valuable individual in my
oh,
life.
My
and, no, it's oh. true.
What
like
a love
I,
cast this is.
It
no,
is. It's yeah. gross. And I yeah, I don't know where I'd be in the past year if I like didn't have like your continued aww, and constant support.
Thanks,
no, and I mean it.
Number one thing that I'm like so jealous of is people who have co-hosts. And when I look at you guys, like the chemistry is there and the friendship is there and the love for each other is there. And it's so hard as a solo podcaster to keep going when
yeah,
you don't
I can
have
only imagine.
When you don't have someone going, no, you're valuable. Like
it's
stay with it.
Yeah. It's feel yeah. It's feeling accountable
it's
to somebody else.
Like,
yeah.
It's not just accountable to me. I'm accountable to Linnea. Like
exactly.
I yeah. owe her an edit every Wednesday.
Right.
Not just myself.
Oh,
like it's not just
yeah.
for me.
Yeah.
No. And when I show up to the podcast, like because it is, and you know, we've been doing this almost
18 months.
Almost 2 years.
Yeah. Getting there.
And yeah. And the way I feel about it is that, you know, you have, you know, drilled in my head so many times that I am valuable to this show.
You don't want a call her daddy situation.
Right. But I do. I
don't want one of those. Good. Just learn from their mistakes. Okay.
I do. But I show up and I'm just so excited to learn from Grace and like be there and be her cheerleader and her number one fan and be like, yes, everything you're saying is like important and valuable and funny and great, because it just makes the show so much better.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Would you ever take on a co-host? I know you've recently brought on an assistant producer.
I would take on a co-host.
Is it you?
But it
would be like a segment. You'd need like a weather woman.
Are you the assistant producer?
No.
I thought you were like, you've recently brought on an assistant producer.
No, not
it's me.
Me.
I have an excellent.
I can barely produce our podcast.
It's really tough because no one is going to be as committed to it as I am.
Yeah.
So if I were to do that, it would probably be like a whole Regis and Kelly thing where I would have a competition to see who would be my co-host. I would take on like guest co-host
the
for like
gauntlet.
A solid month and like see who's better.
And be like, sorry, you didn't make the cut.
In gauntleted. In gauntoxicated.
Are you intoxicated?
Yeah, I was just
going
to say.
I did just finish
how
my
mimosa. How much
mimosa,
champagne
so.
Did you put in there? Yeah, it would be really hard, but I would be open to it. But I'm also open to creating other podcasts.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That is something that I've always thought about, like, because Minute Women is an interesting thing where we started it knowing it has a terminus.
Yeah.
There are not an infinite number of Heritage Minutes. Hence, we've kind of incorporated Have You Got a Minute to try and extend our catalog, right?
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, what do we do if we run out of Heritage Minutes, which gratefully, like, so we're a year and a half in, and I think we're maybe halfway through the catalog.
Oh,
like
we're
definitely, it's not like a short-term issue, but I guess to listeners, you know, everything comes to an end. Like yeah. I don't know what happens when we run out of Heritage Minutes. Do we just change Minute Women into something else? Do we start a new podcast?
So one podcast that I think of when you say that is, this is a little bit TMI, but it's a podcast called How Come, C-U-M.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So this comedian Remy started it because she had never had an orgasm. And the whole podcast,
I saw that. It was on Vox at some point.
The whole podcast was based around her learning how to get there. And I think like 10 episodes in or something, she finally made it happen. So she was like, I don't know what to do with this podcast anymore. And now it's just now it's just a sex podcast where she dives into different issues about that.
Oh, that's
so
crazy.
Like, that's the joy of podcasting though. Mm-hmm. It can change and evolve. And Minute Women is the brand.
Yeah.
But like you didn't sign a contract going, it's only going to be about, you know, Heritage Minutes.
Yeah.
As long as it's in that field of history and like talking about it in a comedic way, I think you're good.
And when we're not passionate about talking about that type of stuff, that's when I feel like it'll
that's
be
when
like,
it
we'll
come
know.
To an end. Yeah.
And take breaks. Take season breaks. Take breaks, people.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? Take a break.
In any part of your life. It doesn't matter if it's podcasting or not. Take a break.
Yeah,
I can't say that enough. I've definitely burned myself out with Intoxicated doing it for 4 years straight. Like
That is insane to me.
It's four years.
Like,
it is insane.
We've only recently taken on the editing of our podcast and stuff.
And she says we, but it's her. And like, again.
Stop
like,
it. You're valuable.
You are valuable. We edit the podcast and like maybe we can talk about Intoxicated because I feel like it's more appropriate for that space than this space. But like we took a hiatus largely because we were in like a legal battle over our podcast, right?
Yeah.
And we were on a forced hiatus. Yeah. And so I will say that doing that did make me more motivated than I ever was to come back and do it.
There you go.
And so
because it's ours now.
And it's true.
No one's
ours.
Gonna take it away. Nobody puts
Taylor
Minute Women in a corner.
You are Taylor Swift and you're like, now this is ours.
Yeah, we basically did.
For you, Scooter Braun.
Yeah, that is the one like thing where we differ, where like I do not like Taylor Swift. I know you love her.
Okay.
And I know you are a Taylor Swift fan.
Okay, hang on.
I do not like her.
Talk to me about this. This is my podcast pitch that I want to do and I seriously want to do it.
Okay.
It's a podcast called Swifted.
Yeah.
And what it is it's me and maybe a co-host,
me,
maybe you. We bring a Taylor Swift hater on,
yes,
and we try to convince them to be a fan.
Yes,
whether that's through showing them
songs, I don't hate her as a human,
or like little tidbits about her career.
Yeah,
like we really, really try.
November
19th,
when the 8-minute version of All Too
Well,
10-minute version of All Too Well. Yeah,
but I seriously want to make this podcast a thing because I think it's niche enough.
Oh.
And it's interesting
people
enough
would
because
listen for sure.
And I know so many people who are like, there's just something about her. I hate her. I don't like her. And I'm just like, I respect your opinion, but I want to try to change your mind.
That's so funny.
I love that.
Somehow.
That's a great idea for a podcast.
Right?
I would totally come on as like a producer.
On?
I could be on an episode.
You would be a guest. And if I mean, well, we'll have to talk later about how big of a fan you are because you didn't know it was 10 minutes. You thought it was 8. So, but we'll talk about that later, okay?
I used to sit with a pen and decode all the secret messages in every album cover.
Okay.
I'm there.
You're good.
Yeah, I didn't, like, and I will say up front, I don't hate her as a human. I know there's a lot of people out there who, like, really despise her as a person.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't have any issue with that. I've just, like, and her songs are super catchy. It's just not, like, something I would turn on.
You're not a stan.
We're gonna change that.
I'm not a stan.
We're gonna change that.
Okay.
Swifted. I wonder if it's taken.
I did like the song.
I really want to claim it.
I did like the song Off Folklore with Bon Iver.
Yeah.
Oh, Exile.
That's a great song.
That
was a
good
song. I was like, this is good. I like this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as part of the LGBTQ community, when Betty came out, everybody lost their shit. Oh,
and you
my
need
God.
To calm down.
All
another
my friends,
anthem.
I know you need to calm down. And Dress.
Yeah.
Is another one. Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was definitely like, but I one of my very good pals who is a big fan of Minute Women, Alex Boyd. I shoot you out. quite
Alex
often. She gave us one of our best reviews on Apple Podcasts.
No way.
Yeah, but
Al like messaged me the day the album came out and was like all of the like lines from Betty and was like Taylor Swift is a lesbian, and I was like, I don't
that's a whole rabbit hole we could go down.
I don't think, but yeah,
okay, no. She could be something.
So to round this out, if you had to start another podcast, it would be Swifted,
but I have so many other ideas too.
Let's all close with like a podcast that we would start.
Yes,
like in our head, what would be a good idea for a podcast?
I really want to start one that's all, well, I mean, it's kind of in the works. I want to start one, a solo podcast about women in comedy and having,
love that.
And I really want it to be like just about my, like a stand-up diary of like what I'm going through as a comedian, and really make it like focused on stand-up. But the other one I want to do is all about music, and I want people to come on with like an album that they like, that was really influential, and go through track by track.
Yes. I love that. Trying to like, kind of like the Taylor Swift thing, but like trying to convince you why something is a great album.
Exactly. Oh. I've always wanted that. Something really obscure. I've wanted to do that for years, but again, it's just time. All of that.
I love that. What would you do?
Oh, like we've already talked about this a little bit, but like, and I don't know a title for it. I've done a couple like working titles of like Tales from the Flower Shop or like something.
Oh, yes.
But so I've worked at a flower shop. Oh, and let me tell you.
There's some stories.
Books worth of stories. Like shit that you get, like, you know, but like the,
like anonymous florist. Like, that would be a great.
Yeah, name. Actually, I like that. But like you get the people who are sending like pages and pages of love letters to a woman who is never gonna take them back. You get like the woman who you deliver flowers to because it's her last day of chemo, and like, and then you get like the absolute psycho, like people, and then like the funerals of like someone in the town who was really prominent, and then you get like people sending anonymous flowers to people, and the cards that you write, and the crazy things that happen, and the funny stories, and the sad stories, and the happy stories. Because
like flowers as a product are only something you order for like the happiest of times or the worst
or the worst of times, and so you know, true. Working in a flower shop, working in that environment and atmosphere, like you just, it is a little bit of like you like meet another florist on the street and you're like, yeah, I get it. It's like I like have this relationship where like if I ever order flowers, like I've ordered flowers for Grace, and it's like I'm like, yeah, I work at a flower shop, and then you end up talking for 15 minutes to like the person on the other end being like, oh, like what crazy shit did you deal with today, or like what really like uplifting stuff did you do. So I think like we've talked about it and a bit. It'd be a really cool podcast to do with like one of those podcasts, kind of like Modern Love, which is a podcast that I love, but with like sound effects and like noise, and like, you know, you hear the really chime of the door, and like you hear like the person like shuffle in, like the old man who's going to take flowers to his, you know, wife who's in the home and doesn't remember him, but like he takes her flowers every Thursday. Like there's stories
that's
like that.
Idea.
Yeah. So it's
yeah,
cool.
I would love it if it were people like writing in and stories, and then like, so it's like a combination of like your own personal experience, but also like anonymous florists who are writing in to tell their stories as well. Yeah. I think that's a great idea for a podcast. Yeah. I think it would be like really cool.
That would be so cool.
Yeah.
What about you, Grace? Do you have any podcasts?
See, I spurred this conversation, and then the whole time I've been trying to think of what podcasts I would make. So, I mean, like, me and my brother have, like, had conversations. My older brother, Ben, like, he is, like, a more serious historian than I am, even though, like, I'm going into my PhD, and he, like, took another route where he's now, like, a librarian. But he's, like, so good at research, and basically he's wanted to do a podcast about the Quebec biker gang wars, which is basically like the Hell's Angels operating Quebec. It's insane.
You had a name though.
The Patch.
Yeah. Which I love.
Which is because all Hell's Angels have patches on their vests and jackets, whatever.
Okay.
But that was something that like we had talked about, and I don't know if I would be like a host or like an editor or something, but like I would love to be like involved with it. I would also love to just get better at editing. That is something like I want to be able to do, and like,
oh yeah,
just like as a skill, like it's a great marketable skill to have when
it
you
really,
can
really
like
is.
Edit audio,
because then you could edit other people's podcasts and
absolutely
get some fulfillment out of that too.
Like my goal, which has really been born out of like working at Podstarter, has been like I love history, but I don't want to necessarily be a professor. And that's kind of like the main track you have.
The PhD
is that
road.
Or working in a traditional museum setting, which is fine, but I don't find it overly creative fulfilling. And we had this guy come to St. Mary's when I was there, and he gave us like kind of a presentation about how he did go a very traditional academic route, but then started his own business basically as a consultant. Like he was like a historical consultant to creative projects.
Oh,
and he ran like
that would be perfect for
he
you.
Ran like tours of London. So like you would go and he would guide you through like World War II landmarks in
London.
There's
people
and
like
stuff.
That for cinema too. Because
Lunenburg, like, I would love to do consulting for like movies.
So cool. There's a guy who does it in Lunenburg who's like a historian and like that's what he does. So like so whenever the films and stuff are in town, he like discusses historical accuracy and like like when Book of Negroes was filmed in Lunenburg, like he did all of the like historic, because it was filmed between Lunenburg and Shelburne.
Yeah.
And he was like their historical content.
It's amazing.
Like person.
That'd be perfect for you.
Yeah, I would love to do something like that, which is like, and I think like podcasting will always be like part of that.
I mean, that's gonna
because
help
it's
you get there.
Such a public forum to discuss your ideas, and like I understand the academic process and why it's there, and I think it's certainly necessary. Like it's really important to have a lot of eyes on your work before it sees the public. But my perspective has always been like, it doesn't matter how much effort you put into it if it's only ever going to be circulated among other historians. Like you need to have a more accessible forum to have that research heard. And so it's really important to take high quality level research and put it into accessible public forms. So that's kind of always been like part of like the mission of Minute Women anyways, is like
of course you guys are doing
something
it.
Like that.
Yes.
But if I had to start another podcast, I feel like I would want it to be a little less research focused. Like I love doing this. Like I love having these kinds of conversations. So whatever it would be. I would love to start a podcast with my brothers, actually.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of sibling podcasts in the world.
No,
and
that's awesome. I
know,
I love
like internally siblings are so like whatever. But it's me and my three brothers. We're all distinct ages. Like my oldest brother is turning 29 and my youngest brother is 17.
Oh my God.
So we just all have these like we have this very fun dynamic,
so
and I would love to start a podcast with them at some point.
And I would argue, knowing you, having met and spent time with all of you together and apart, is that you are all very similar, very obvious that you're siblings physically and just like how you interact with each other, but also distinctively different.
We all have very distinct perspectives.
Yeah. And I think that you guys would be great. Like
a McNutt podcast.
Yeah.
Cracking the nut with the McNutts.
The problem when you have a last name like McNutt is people just constantly want to make puns with it.
Yeah, that's true.
What street do you live on?
Cromarty. We grew up on Cromarty Street. Or Pleasant Street in Dartmouth.
Yeah, Cromarty Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I like
the Cromarty Street kids.
Cromarty Street,
Cromarty Street kids.
I love that we all have so
I love
because
there's a podcast out there that exists like My Brother and Me.
Yes.
It's a great podcast.
It's actually
love
really
it.
Good.
But
I
for
like
us,
podcast.
For me, it would be My Brother and Me. but for them, they would have to say My Brother, My Brother, and My Sister and Me. From my perspective, it's perfect.
And it's all about you.
It's all about me.
It should be.
She's the only girl. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for taking a minute and listening to another Have You Got a Minute? And Sarah, thank you so much for coming.
This
you
was
are
so fun.
You are phenomenal and so funny. And and I just like, feeling the love today. Feeling the heat. It is warm in here for our listeners at home.
We endured.
A fantastic time as always with some great gals.
You guys should be very proud of Minute Women. Like it's
thanks.
Truly so amazing.
Sarah.
And you guys are gonna get famous. And I'm gonna be like, I was on that podcast.
When we become famous
joint
together.
Tour
it'll be a joint tour
that would be so much fun.
That's the dream.
We should do long-term goal, maybe like a year or two out, we should try and do like an Atlantic Circuit tour.
That would be so fun.
Women in podcasting
cool.
tour.
Yeah.
And everyone should go check out the Intoxicated podcast. Yes, it has an incredible catalog that you can go through and catch up on. And you guys, you release weekly, don't you?
Weekly as of now.
We shall see. Stay tuned. But weekly as of now. She also does video. So yes, like yeah, you can like visually take in all the beauty. Your set is gorgeous.
Also, your new cover art is
so good.
Fire.
Thank you so much. It's my favorite picture of myself.
No, it really is. No, but it like reads through. Like you're just like so confident in that picture, and like you've posted it and shared it, and those glitter tears are just fantastic.
You were there when I came up with it.
The highs and lows of like Sarah rebranding. Maybe we could talk about this on Intoxicated.
We'll get into it.
The highs and lows of every day, the drama of Sarah's rebranding was insane and amazing. And I love like John would totally be there, like they'd be like, well, don't worry about this too much. Like
it's John gonna be such a four therapist. It's gonna be a 4-hour episode we do on Intoxicated. It's gonna be like 2 days. It'll be a sleepover.
We're doing Rogan length with you guys.
Oh my god.
Okay. Yes.
Can't wait.
So yeah, check out the Intoxicated podcast. And if you haven't gotten enough men and women, go to our website, menandwomenpodcast.ca. You can check out all our social media platforms and our merch store, which is the best way you can support the podcast. Rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts if you get an opportunity. We gotta like outweigh the negativity that we get sometimes.
Yeah, please do. Write a long 5-star review. Long as the bad 1-star one.
Yep.
Oh, and also we're on YouTube now.
And we are on YouTube.
Go enjoy that.
If that's your preferred platform, so you can check that out as well. And we will see you next week.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.